Our teaching lesson today comes from the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and deed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from the one who was, who is, and who will be once again. Amen. Now, these last few weeks of the church year always come off a little strange to me, because we seem to switch gears so abruptly and start talking about end times. And so today, from the book of Job, we hear that often quoted line, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth." The psalmist lifts up a song that is remarkable for its trust in God, its lack of confidence in self, and in its glorious heavenly hope. In the passage from Luke, we find Jesus and some Sadducees getting into a heated discussion over resurrection and what the afterlife might be like. And in our teaching lesson from 2 Thessalonians, we discover Paul in what may be one of the earliest letters of the New Testament, giving some pastoral advice to this early Christian community to not lose heart that Christ has not yet returned, but to have hope in his second coming and the resurrection that awaits for all true believers. But 2 Thessalonians is more than just a letter trying to get the people to not lose heart that Christ has not yet returned, but is also, and maybe more importantly, in a way an outline on how followers of Christ might have a fulfilling and rewarding life in this time of waiting. And isn't that what we all want? Don't we all need some direction on how to live as good Christians? Well, I know I do. Because as much as I look forward to someday taking my place, God willing, as a member of the heavenly host, sometimes I think I'm failing as a follower. And I would bet many, if not most of you here this morning, sometimes feel exactly the same way. At least sometimes you must. Because it's only natural to second guess what you do, what you believe, and if you are truly living your life in a manner that really represents your faith. And while it may be natural to second guess yourself, Paul seems to know this, and yet still through his words he offers you hope, just like Christ freely offers us his grace. And that hope that Paul offers is to just stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught. And when you stand firm and fast in hope, Paul believes that each of you will be revealed for what you are, one of God's first fruits. Now in Paul's letter to the Galatians, he talks a little bit more about the characteristics of being filled with the Spirit as one of God's first fruits, where we read that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul then goes on to state that if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Well, as you can see, Paul describes many ways in which you can be led by the Spirit. Now, as I mentioned last week, Spirit of Christ is a very generous congregation, but we are also a faithful congregation. And part of being a faithful congregation is the ability to see the ways that the ways we have done things in the past may not be a faithful way to do things in the future. In fact, there may come a time when things need to change and change dramatically. And that's one of the reasons, if you were here last Sunday, you heard me tell you that the ELCA and most other Western Christian churches are at this very moment experiencing very sharp and steep declines. And one of the most often quoted reasons from people for why they have turned their back on the church is that the church does not represent their values. And the values they're talking about is the importance of actually making a difference in the lives of people who need help the most. And so it's not that non-churchgoers don't care, or that they even think that the established churches don't care. Rather, they care so much that they want to see more done. But when they look at our places of worship, often what they see are established churches spending way too much time on talk and way too little money on action. And that's why, in my opinion, that if the church wants to continue as more than just some social club, then we need to step up and put our energy and our time and our money where our mouth is. Now, the Spirit of Christ already gives generously. We give generously over 10% of our offerings to various missions. But what would it look like if we strove to give 20% or more? What would this not only look like to the many more people we could help in so many different and new ways, but also how would this look to people who might be inclined to start coming back through our doors or going to church for the very first time? My guess is that it would go a long way in showing what our priorities truly are. In fact, it would show that our priorities are not simply about self-sufficiency, but really all about selfless service and love for our neighbor, which is exactly what we should be doing as God's first fruits. Because lest we forget, as faithful followers of Christ, ultimately, we are God's good gift to the world. We are the ones who have been called on to share abundantly. And we are God's offering to people hungering for something more. But if you think we exist to just feed the hunger of people who join us for worship, you've got things all wrong. You've got things all wrong, and you need to start getting things right. Because no one knows when Christ will return, but what we do know is that the work of Christ never ends. It never ends, and that's why we need to figure out how to do more with less. And to do that, we need a plan. And our upcoming budget is one way we start to plan. Which is exactly why your pledge is so important, as it helps us understand the resources we will have to work with, and then to start prayerfully considering how to maximize what we can do for Christ. What we can do for Christ in our community, what we can do for Christ across our country, and what we can do for Christ in the world. Now, later in the service, you will have the opportunity to offer your pledge, your first fruits, and I hope you have taken the time this past week to discern what is appropriate for you and your family to give in 2020 to Spirit of Christ. If not, take a little bit more time. But please try and have your pledge cards back by the end of the month. And please remember, the amount you pledge is insignificant to God. But what is significant is that whatever your pledge ends up being, that it is a gift of first fruits, and not the fruit that just happens to be left over at the end of the month. So look forward in hope. Look forward in faith. Look forward in love. And look forward always in grace. Because a new day is coming. A new day where anything is possible when we work together, being led by the Spirit. Amen.